The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Iraqi parliament is passing a law that will permit children as young as 9 to marry. There are calls for the law to be abolished as activists are warning it could legalize child rape. But according to UNICEF, 1 in 5 girls globally marry as children. Now, to talk about this, I'm joined by Julianne Schmucker, head of programming at Plan Action Ireland. Julianne, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this has come to the headlines because of what's going on in Iraq. And it's a strange situation that it applies differently to Shia and Sunni.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, first of all, and thanks for having me on. So yeah, the new legislation in Iraq is essentially a new bill that was passed of giving religious authorities power to rule over family matters, including marriage and divorce. And this kind of legislation, or let's say religious ruling, opens the doors to marriage of children that can be as young as 9 years old.
Now, we played a clip at the very beginning of the program suggesting that what they're doing is legalizing something that is going on in the shadows anyway. So it gives it, a legal framework. That doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right. And it's not just an issue in Iraq. It's an issue that we see on the global scale. It's something that many people are not quite aware of. And certainly, even though there can be legislations around child marriage in some countries, it often means that underground or in the spheres of religious and certain cultural practice, child marriage is still something that's ongoing.
Can you explain to me why child marriages happen? I mean, the children are not giving their consent necessarily, certainly not at the age of 9. So the parents are organizing this, one presumes. What's in it for the parents?
Yeah, thank you. It can be. So essentially, as we already talked about, one of the issues is the lack of protective legal frameworks. But having legal frameworks in place doesn't necessarily mean child marriage doesn't happen. And I think first of all...
So even where there's a prohibition on child marriage before the age of 16, 17 or 18... it is still going on in many countries.
It's still going on. And one of the key reasons for it is really poverty. So we see a direct correlation between low-income countries and the rates of child marriage. Very often also it's related to traditional beliefs and customs. So there's often no awareness of what the effects of early child and forced marriage are on children. So it's a practice that's been ongoing for centuries. And to create awareness that this is not right because it has significant impacts on a child's well-being, mentally, physically, is a great starting point.
But when you talk about poverty and the question about what's in it for the parents, are they paid for their female children? Are they paid by the prospective husband?
It really looks. It really depends at the context we are looking on. So we see increased rates, for example, in South Asia, in Sub-Saharan Africa. In South Asia, for example, in countries like India and Bangladesh, very often the parents have to pay a price to the family of the groom. So essentially, girls are seen as a burden.
So by getting rid of the burden, in order to do that, they have to pay someone to take the girl on.
Indeed. So the assumption is, okay, it releases some of the economic pressures that families face by marrying the girl off to the family of the husband.
So it's the girl who has to pay, not the husband's family who has to pay. Now, are there situations where, I'm thinking back in history, where you might have a member of the royal family, a female, who would become betrothed to some prince of another royal family for, political and other reasons, but they would not actually possibly even meet until they were older. It might happen they would be betrothed at the age of 9, but they wouldn't meet and marry until they were perhaps 18 or 19 or 20.
Yes, that's still ongoing. So we see it in many countries that the girl finds out the day or the week before she's actually getting married that this is what's happening to her. And she's married off often to older men. So imagine at the age of 9, if that would happen to your sister, to your niece, to your daughter, and there would be a massive outcry. And this is what it takes.
Now, you've been to various parts of the world where this is going on. You saw what was happening among Rohingya refugees. What did you discover there?
Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, I had a chance to visit one of Plan International's programs in Bangladesh. So the Rohingya are a minority group that live in one of the largest refugee settlements on the global scale. When I visited one of the programs, I had a chance to speak to a group of girls that meet on the regular in a sort of safe space. So, and they discuss issues around child marriage, for example. What are the risks, but also what are their rights? So very often girls are not aware that it's actually not right and not legal in most cases to be married off.
But if you're a young girl, how do you enforce your rights?
It can be very difficult. So what we need to do, we also need to work with the parents, with the caregivers. Very often it's community authorities, religious authorities that we need to engage in the conversations to really outline what are the consequences of early and child marriage and what can be done against it. And it's really poverty reduction is really one of the key elements to that.
The danger that someone will be, if you like, sold into marriage where the girl's family are paying the price, but the girl doesn't end up married to the groom, but ends up being trafficked by the groom. How often does that happen?
We see an increase in those scenarios, for example, in humanitarian crisis. So in plan, we also work a lot in conflict and disaster context. And very often we see as a consequence of conflict and disaster that trafficking of girls, but also boys, increases in those kind of scenarios.
Now, to what extent do some of these grooms use and abuse and then divorce the girls they've married and probably go on to find another young girl to abuse?
Yeah, that happens a lot. So essentially, girls that are underage and that are married off or trafficked off, they have to engage in sexual activities with a potential groom. They get pregnant very early at a premature age, and it happens often that they're being divorced when for example they fall sick, or it can also happen that the husband has more than one wife. So essentially we're also talking about rape within that range of forced marriage.
And what about if they do get pregnant prematurely? I mean, there are huge health risks there for someone who gets pregnant at an age that is too young really to carry a baby successfully.
Yeah, it is proven that early marriage is one of the leading causes of maternal health, of complications at childbirth, for example. So physically, mentally, those girls are not ready to be children, and it has a massive impact on their well-being, but also on the prospects of the child that's being born into this kind of scenario.
Now, talk to me about why the parents continue to do this. You say poverty is obviously an imperative, but there seems to be obviously no empathy for their female children.
I wouldn't say there is no empathy, but sometimes it's despair. When we talk about poverty, so often parents don't see an alternative to making an income than selling their child or marrying their child off. But also it's often a lack of understanding of the impacts that it can have on a child. So if it's a practice that's been going on for centuries, it's important to create this understanding of the negative consequences.
Now, to what extent is there any kind of romantic marriages among those who are underage? Does that exist anywhere?
It does exist. And that's why we talk about child early forced marriage and unions. So when we talk about unions, it can often be that there is a romantic idea between adolescents of wanting to be together, because it's also something that's been ongoing or that's somewhat normalized in their communities. So we are not always talking about forced and arranged marriage. So there can also be this romantic notion of children wanting to be together.
Do we have to be careful with the definition of a child, if we're going to take global action, for example, at United Nations level, that in some places, in fact, years ago here in Ireland, it might be common enough to marry at 16. Certainly in the post-war world in the UK, girls who went to work in factories at the age of 14 might well marry at 16 or 17. And we tend to extend childhood in the developed world right up to, you know, people living with their parents until they're 30 or 35. But, you know, in education until they're 24, 25, and we maybe infantilize people who might be considered adults in other societies.
Mm-hmm. So globally and also across Europe, so the legal age of marriage is considered to be 18 all over, and it's also in all countries in Europe. Per law, childhood ends at the age of 18, basically. So
you know what I mean? If culturally it's normal in some societies or groups of people to get married at 16 or 17, when both are post-puberty, and therefore are capable of starting a family, as many do, that we get a bit sniffy in Western Europe. How dare they do this? These are children. When in fact, in their own societies, they're not regarded as children.
Yeah, exactly. So we see that the majority of early marriages in the countries where we work are adolescents around 16 or 17 years old. But some of them are also as young as 9 years, for example.
And that is utterly unacceptable.
Yeah.
And also, I suppose, if you like Romeo and Juliet marriages of two teenagers, that's one thing. But if you've got, a 40-year-old wealthy man who comes in and picks up a 14-year-old, that is abuse.
That is abuse. So, and
what is to be done? I mean, is there anything on the United Nations level, on a global level, that can be done to counteract this? Because obviously education will work to give females independence.
Yeah, that's right. So there are many levels on which you have to approach. So you have to address the legal frameworks and look at, okay, what legal situations do we have, and create the framework for being able to enforce law. Also, it's quite important that, for example, civil registration is happening. So very often children don't have a birth certificate, so it's difficult to prove and enforce how old a child actually is. The other one, and this is quite important, is to really work with the communities, with the families, with the decision makers, to ensure that everyone is aware of what consequences early marriage has and what can be done against it. There are lots of global movements that can be joined. So Plan is one of the organizations that works on the issue. But on the global level, there are many, many movements and initiatives to try to tackle that issue.
And finally, is there an increase in child marriage, or is it actually being combated successfully? Are the numbers going down?
So we see a slight increase, but the numbers are going down way too slowly. So it's said that in the last decade, we had about a 4% decline, but the pace is too slow. And if we move at this pace, we can assume that it takes another 300 years to completely get rid of the practice.
My goodness. Julianne Schmucker, who's head of programming at Plan Action Ireland. Julianne, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.